All right, Brian Batko's joining us. Steelers Insider Post-Gazette. Brian, the guy who lines up in the slot against possibly Ray McLeod, who is now the Falcons' slot receiver. Week 1, September 8th. Is that man on the roster right now, in your opinion?
I'm going to say yes, just because of the way things went down last year where they picked up, was it Desmond King on the cut-down scrap heap, and it wasn't a plug-and-play situation, even for a well-established vet like him. So assuming they do consider going that route again, how quickly will that guy be able to get up to speed with what I guess would be 3 or 4 practices with their defense before they potentially throw him out there? So I'll say Beanie Bishop, leader in the clubhouse.
How strong, like, does he have a 4-shot lead in the clubhouse, or is he barely hanging on? He's up by 1, and he maybe bogeyed his last 2 holes here.
Yeah, I think it's more of the latter, Malzi. I mean, just the way that Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin have talked about him and the state of that position, I wouldn't feel too comfortable slipping on the green jacket if I were Beanie. I mean, at this point, like, this has become a recurring trend with them for some reason. Like, I heard Pony talking about Sean Wade coming back. He was somebody who I thought made a lot of sense for them in that draft, but they are not really investing any sort of resources into nickel corner since the Mike Hilton departure. And that was even the first time they said, no, we're not going to pay big money to that spot. And they tend to try to fill it with undrafted guys, chip on their shoulder types. It seems like they might get left holding the bag this year.
Give us somebody who people will recognize and know the name, who you expect to be told you're cut and maybe you'll be back in a practice squad role, or maybe you'll be gone altogether between now and 4 o'clock, Brian.
Yeah, the guy that I've been putting in that category really since the draft is Isaiah Loudermilk. I just feel like the clock's been ticking on him for a while now. Bringing in Dean Lowry, who's pretty similar frame and has been there, done that in the NFL via free agency, I feel like was not a good sign for Loudermilk. And then Logan Lee, he's only a 6th rounder and he might not make it either, but kind of tells you what they're thinking about that traditional like 6'4 to 6'7 range, 3 or 5 technique guy. And he just hasn't flashed much in his time here. So nice guy, good in the locker room. I think he works his butt off, but that was a head scratching draft pick by Kevin Colbert from the beginning. And I'm not sure he's going to see the end of his rookie deal.
Brian, are there any receivers that have been cut around the league? Because I know you've been tracking this the same way we have. You're trying to get out ahead of it and wonder where they might be looking for that position if, you know, the long-rumored Brandon Ayuk deal never comes to fruition. Is there anybody that you think has been already jettisoned or still might be that would be a logical fit for them, either because of their familiarity with the player or just a set of traits that they might like that a particular guy has?
Yeah, I know a lot of people were buzzing about Noah Brown on social media, but that to me seems a little bit like a situation of fairly similar to Van Jefferson, but his name is not Van Jefferson and he hasn't been here since March, so he's suddenly more intriguing than the guys who are here. I do kind of like the Terrace Marshall idea that you were espousing. I mean, I just think back on that LSU team and I feel like I'd take their ball boy to come play wide receiver for me based on watching that offense with Joe Burrow back in the day. So that's another one who's kind of on my radar. But man, I mean, just the types of guys who are being released by teams right now. I mean, I know they're probably coming from stronger receiver rooms than the Steelers have, but I don't know that they're really much better or in a higher tier than some of the guys who are fighting to make this team.
When is Roman Wilson going to be ready, Brian?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a growing, concerning question. I mean, he didn't seem to be too worried about his status to start the season last time we chatted with him. But man, I mean, just like I was talking about, whereas if you bring in a new slot corner or, you know, anybody that you might bring in at that position or receiver today or tomorrow or by the end of the week, I mean, they're not going to have a lot of time to get involved in the game plan for week 1. And plus, you're going to be trying to evaluate them. So both he and Troy Palutanu, I don't know if they're going to be playing big roles in Atlanta. And obviously with Palutanu, it's different because you're either in there or you're not. Wilson, I wouldn't be surprised if he's fallen behind in the receiver pecking order, and he could be an inactive guy to start the season for sure.
Were they ever as worried internally about Broderick Jones after that second preseason game as people on the outside were, Brian?
I don't know. I mean, Mike Tomlin didn't shrug it off when asked about it, but you know, he didn't like light into him either, really. I mean, it was sort of just that we'll see how he responds with his next opportunity. I mean, there's not really a lot of room to be concerned, because I just don't, like I just said, I don't think Troy Fautanu is going to offer a whole lot of comfort, even if he has the three best game week practices you've ever seen from a rookie tackle next week. I mean, you still just haven't gotten to see much of it. What does Tomlin always say? In stadium. So, I mean, I think it's going to be Dan Moore and Broderick Jones week one, and you hope the talent and the pedigree is going to rise to the top for him. And, I mean, at that point, I don't know how long each guy's leash is, or if they'll just kind of take it game by game with how they're playing, knowing that this year's first rounder, who I do think was on a good trajectory before that first preseason struggle and injury, works his way into the mix.
Can somebody trick Dan Moore into mouthing off like Chooks did so that we can get this benching over sooner rather than later here, or what?
I mean, at this point, Dan Moore is not going to do anything like that. But yeah, I mean, his time is coming. They've drafted a guy at his position 2 years in a row. He probably knows he's on borrowed time, but I mean, he's got to keep trying to play well, and it could be good for him in the long run regardless. Maybe if it's at a situation where he gets benched for one bad game, but, you know, does he still hold some trade value or something like that? That could help him out and the Steelers down the road. But no, it sure seems like he's poking rookie tackle voodoo dolls at this point to continue putting himself into the lineup.
Brian, was there a quarterback competition at practice today?
No, but when it comes to this, Pony, I feel like I'm like the last guy who was – I'm like the guy who stayed to see the river of the Steelers quarterback competition. Like, a lot of people were mucking their cards after the flop. A few waited around to the turn. I wanted to wait it out, but after Russell Wilson threw basically one good-looking ball in completion Saturday in Detroit, I'm folding my cards on any sort of confidence in Justin Fields having a chance. But I do think that's different than this was a foregone conclusion from the start. I just, from what I saw with my own eyes in Latrobe and in practice, they were working it more like divided labor than they ever did with Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett.
Brian Batko, Steelers insider, on the state of affairs there at practice today, and also what we should expect in the next half hour or so with roster cutdown stuff. Brian, thank you.
Yep. See you guys.